This is Sunday night's main event.
Look, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, but boy, is it exciting.
With Dan the Mo Flabransky.
Everyone has a price.
And Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
In clear violation of the law.
Welcome, 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 everybody. It is the after party for the good old Fastlane pay-per-view. Hey there, I am Jason Agnew, and this after party is brought to you by Great Lakes Beer. Let's crack them open, guys, because
I'm way ahead of you, Jay. I'm way ahead of you. I've already
Well, there's Lavransky. You're already at the bottom of your glass, and I don't blame you after what we just watched. My goodness.
Oh, boy. There was some moments, I would say, yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's good and there's bad on this one. Sorry, I didn't do that in the right order. It's bad and good, in my opinion. But I got a feeling that you may differ on a few things tonight, Lavransky. First of all, though, what are you drinking there? What's your selection? I went with a Haze Mama tonight.
I'm starting with the Canuck Pale Ale.
All right. There we go.
Well, as you can see, I've got my whole supply right here.
Yeah, and the fact that you said you're starting with that, I don't believe you for a second, because I think there's been a few consumed during the pay-per-view and very much valid.
I have to say, if Shane had his match, I would be hammered right now. I'm telling you that for sure. But you didn't have to deal with Shane, so that's good.
Listen, I don't think what we got was much better, though.
We'll get to it,
everyone. Yeah, they're saving that for Mania Mouth, to be able to torture you at Mania with that, and to just be able to keep promoting that and doing angles for the next month or so leading up to WrestleMania. Actually, it's not even a month. It's 3 weeks away, because WrestleMania is April 10th and 11th, and we also get a week leading up to it of pure full-on WWE this year. It has gone from WrestleMania Mouth, which used to be a day, to WrestleMania weekend about 10 years ago. It evolved into a weekend with NXT as well. Now this year we have gone to WrestleMania week, and it is going to be absolutely bananas. And I really don't know if it's a good thing, because
it's too much. Oh no, Jay, it's way too much. I mean, Monday we'll have Raw, Tuesday have NXT, and then you have NXT.
No, Tuesday's Hall of Fame. Right. Wednesday, Thursday's NXT.
You have two takeovers. You have the UK takeover in there as well. And then you have, of course, SmackDown. And you're going to have two nights of Mania and then Raw. It's like 9 or 10 days in a row. It's way too much.
Yeah, it is a lot. All right. Well, this is WWE getting ready for WrestleMania. And welcome to it, by the way. Hey, it is the Sunday night's main event after party that we are getting into. I, of course, am Jason Agnew, that man right there, looking dapper. New lighting this time around. He's got beers behind him.
Yeah,
and he's
man.
Got a brand new microphone, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. So let's get to this mouth. The funny thing is, this pay-per-view, I was tweeting out all night and I was on social media and everyone's like, well, of course it's not going to be a good pay-per-view because everyone is just waiting for WrestleMania. But the fact of the matter is, wasn't there a time, Mouth, that this pay-per-view was the Elimination Chamber?
Yes.
And this pay-per-view was to choose who would be challenging the other champion that had not been selected by the Royal Rumble winner. And it actually did have some purpose and did have some stakes. And believe me, I'm going to talk a lot about stakes on this show tonight, because I didn't really get any on tonight's show aside from the main event.
Right. Well, I mean, so much of this was thrown together at the last moment, right? Like, how can you get excited about Seth Rollins versus Nakamura when they just threw it together on the TV like a week ago out of nowhere? Like, a lot of this stuff is just thrown together. Or, unfortunately, we're working with guys that they've booked so poorly for so long that you can't care about any of this.
Yeah. And I think that one in particular, I got a rhyme and reason for why that one happened, which we'll get to in the show. So here's how the after parties work, guys. Very similar to what we used to do on the radio show. Mouth and I are going to break down, run down, recap, good old Fastlane here, give you our opinions. And then we may have a couple special guests thrown in. Mark Andrade is pushing all of the buttons and all the bells and whistles are his responsibility tonight. So, but he can also share his opinion at a certain point. And then we're going to leave it to you guys. Though instead of phone calls, calls. We're not doing that anymore. No old-timey phones. All you got to do is raise your hand via the Zoom connection here. So it's like we're going back to elementary school. Your hand, and then Mark will bring you up on the screen. You don't have to put your camera on if you don't want to, but you do have to turn your microphone on, because if you don't, it's very, very difficult to hear your voice. You can use the chat as well, and I just see, oh my goodness, Greg from the Peg found us tonight, Mouth, because I can see him posting up in the chat. So look out. He's probably got something to say, so maybe we'll get our first appearance by Greg from the Peg on the show tonight. So let's get into it, Mouth. Now, the pre-show, the first thing we saw in the pre-show, well, not the first thing, but the first significant thing, along with the babbling people at the desks, was a photo of Shane McMahon. He was apparently hurt this afternoon, all kayfabe, and we don't know if he's going to be medically cleared to participate tonight. And we saw this play out. When you first saw this, considering I know that this was going to be your highlight of the show tonight, how did you feel?
Well, I was, anything that teasing him being injured and the match not happening was fine with me. So I was, I had high hopes as the show started.
Clips then of Seth Rollins and Nakamura from SmackDown and Kevin Patrick interviewing Seth Rollins wearing a suit that I think he pulled from my collection or Rockstar Spud's collection, like one of the two. He makes fun of Nakamura defending his friend Cesaro. He's going to teach Nakamura a lesson in respect tonight, and they're going to face one another, but they're not on the pre-show, which I was kind of surprised because that's a match with low stakes but a high work rate, so it might have been good on the pre-show, but instead, Mouth, we get the North American Championship on the pre-show. And it's Nakamura versus Matt Riddle.
Mustafa Ali.
Sorry, Mustafa. Yeah. So it's not Matt Nakamura. What am I talking about here? It's Riddle versus Ali. My notes are way off. Riddle versus Ali. Now, this was a solid match with these guys. The problem to me, and a lot of my issues tonight, are what was surrounding this match. Riddle, the character, just too dumb for me. And Ali is a mess in the retribution angle.
Well, thankfully, that looks like it's coming to an end, though. Like, to me, that's the highlight of this match. I actually didn't, like, if I was going to say, as a match on its own, I enjoyed watching the two work. But outside of that, yeah, the storyline is all messed up. And really, it was all just a setup for them to break up Retribution at the end, because the whole match, Ali kept yelling at them, oh, see, this is how you do it, this is how you do it. And by the way, can I make note that this was probably the biggest amount of talking I've ever heard in a WWE pay-per-view by performers in the ring. Almost every single guy tonight in a match yelled at his opponent. Even the girls were doing it in their match. It was absolutely, Daniel Bryan was doing it, for God's sake. Like, it was really bizarre. And it started with this match, with Ali basically yelling at Retribution all the time. So he loses the match. Riddle wins with the bro Derek off the top. And so then they're all in the ring with him afterwards. And Mason.
No. So what happened here is Mia Yim first walked away from Ali, and then Slapjack does so as well. And then Mace and T-Bar give him the double choke slam.
The High Justice, right. So as far as this goes, the show is starting on a thumbs up for me. Because breaking up this angle and getting rid of this that has never worked from day one, it's been a joke. I was pleasantly enjoying the show already.
Well, also, credit where credit is due. These two performers are good in the ring. Yeah. It's just what surrounds them that has been a problem. All right, so then we got into the Fastlane pay-per-view, and we opened things up with one of the matches that did have storyline surrounding it, which is a good thing because we are living in the world of professional wrestling here. WWE Women's Tag Team Championship, Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks versus Shayna and Nia with Reginald, or as our patron Dan would say, Shayna, which I'm a big fan of that tag team name. With this one, we have, coming to the end of the match, Bianca hit a killer 450 splash on Shayna. I loved it. Reginald distracts Sasha, and she missed a Meteora to him on the outside. And later, Sasha has a bank statement in, and Shayna, Nia pushes Bianca into Sasha to break up the hold. Sasha gets mad, yells at Bianca. What we see here is, as Bianca and Sasha argue, Sasha blames Bianca, and we get a roll up victory by Shayna. What we've seen is Sasha playing the heel in this feud, which I think is a good thing for the match at WrestleMania. We've defined our characters here.
Yes, Yes. Oh, no, absolutely. And you have to have Bianca as the babyface in this as well, right? Yeah, to me, this was just the tale of two tag teams in dissension, right? It was neither one of these teams really get along. Usually it's only one. Whoa.
A new microphone.
No, new mic stand.
Put that together.
Sorry.
This is the joy of actually being on Zoom and seeing what mouth does. I just got you that, and you're breaking it.
No, I'm excited.
All right.
Okay.
You sound fine. Everything's okay.
I was just saying, I thought it was funny because usually in these type of matches, it's only one team that hates each other. Right. In this match, actually, both teams hated each other. But I guess it gets you where you want to go for WrestleMania with Banks and Bianca. So I don't think anyone expected the titles to change.
I think that there was a possibility of that because you can always do the tag team champions that don't like each other, which is essentially what we have now, but, you know, making them team together and then maybe they drop them back to Nia and Shayna next week. Like, they could have done a flip-flop here. I didn't expect it, but I at least thought there was a chance, which allowed me to believe a little bit more.
The good thing now, though, is all those tag teams that want a shot at the women's title, they can just line up now.
Yeah, all of those tag teams. Now that they eliminated the NXT tag team.
Coming out of this, I was trying to figure out who are Shanna and Nia going to face at WrestleMania. Who are they going to face at WrestleMania?
Maybe Dana and Mandy.
Oh, geez. Okay.
For a real WrestleMania moment. I thought the Sasha slap to Bianca was crazy. Mm. But then it was really long, as instead of Bianca getting mad at Sasha, she just stood there in the ring and stared at the WrestleMania sign. And Sasha stood at the top of the ramp and stared at Bianca. And it went on a long time.
Yeah, you know, it did. Well, I guess they just wanted to hit us over the head with the point or whatever. But yes, we know, we have it figured out. There's your match for WrestleMania.
We get a recap of the Shane photo from earlier in the day when he was in the ring. And then backstage, Shane is coming out of the dressing room, out of the trainer's room, that is, with his knee wrapped in ice. Elias and Ryker try to bug him about WrestleMania and them wanting to perform. Shane is annoyed but says he has an idea. We'll follow up more on that later. An Intercontinental Championship match, Big E versus the Nigerian Prince, Apollo Crews. Now, I'm out this weekend. I went out of my way and I rewatched the first Coming to America. And then I'm now halfway through Coming to America, the sequel.
Yeah.
Do you think it's coincidence that Coming to America, the sequel comes out and now we have this character?
Probably not, unless it's a coincidence that some writer on the team came up with it. But I highly doubt it. I just don't know if this kind of gimmick works in 2021. Like, to
me, a spear.
It seems so like 1980s to me. Like, this does not seem to me like it, especially when, again, why, if you're going to do this, take Apollo off TV for a while, shoot some vignettes, have him go back to his home country, reestablish this. Like, you just don't have him come out the next week and he's got an accent and a spear and a new outfit. Like, that's the whole problem with this. And then for me, the other thing, I don't understand Big E's character in this at all. He totally acted like a heel in almost the entire match. He was taunting him the whole time. Like, I don't know. I was confused by this match. I didn't know who was who.
Okay, before we get into the match, though, I want to just present a theory that Coming to America is Vince McMahon's favorite movie, Mouth. And here's why.
Oh, I doubt it.
If you go back to the original Coming to America, the character of Eddie Murphy is known as Akeem, is his name. Like the one-man gang. Murphy also plays a soul singer, and the soul singer's band is called Sexual Chocolate.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
And what year was that again? What year was that movie?
I believe it's 89, I believe.
Okay, so which would make sense?
Vince McMahon loves Coming to America, friends. That's what I'm saying here. Hence why we now have Apollo Crews. This was a weird finish in this match to get back.
Well,
into
they
the
screwed
match,
it up. They screwed it up.
You think that
they
this was a
up
screw
the
up?
Finish. Oh, I think so. Absolutely. She counted to like five with that. Like the referee, I think, messed up the count. I don't think that was the finish.
If she counted to five, it was two for Apollo, and then Big E reversed it, and he got three, and that equals five.
Okay, then that wasn't made clear. I didn't catch it like that. I just thought she counted way too many times. Something's happened here. They screwed it up. And because if you look at it, Apollo attacked him instantly. And I was thinking like, okay, Apollo's realizes this has been this is not the right ending. And he's diving on him to make it look legit. So I don't know. I didn't see it that way at all. I thought it was a screwed up finish.
Could be. I'm not sure. Nonetheless, I don't, obviously this is just continuing on. This is just a placeholder. These guys are going to continue forward. See, I don't know. Big E should be on the rise. And I was very much in favor of Big E being a future opponent for Roman Reigns, which is why he should probably be ditching the Intercontinental title at some point. And I'm guessing, you know, Mouth, perhaps Apollo Crews with the new character is actually going to end up winning this from him at some point.
But wouldn't it make sense for a Nigerian prince to have the Intercontinental Championship?
Ooh, well done, Dan Laverne.
Like, seriously, you could have you could have some really good promos with him with that title. So, and I think that's probably where they're going. I don't think they're going to keep it on Big E for much longer. I think this is kind of a placeholder thing. And yeah, you want to move him up the ladder as well. The thing that cracked me up is that right after this match with the screwed up finish, they showed the gambling promo talking about betting on the matches. And I'm thinking, I don't know if anyone picked that finish. Yes.
Because they went from the gambling promo and then they went into this Old Spice product placement commercial.
That was a really bizarre one. He
looks like Peter Avalon. He's setting
Joe
up the
Average.
Old Spice display. Joe Average there. Tozawa comes in asking where Truth is. Truth is hiding behind the Old Spice rack. Tozawa grabs his hand. Somehow the Old Spice guy gets the pin on Truth. Truth gets the pin back, so he wins the title back. Tozawa rips off the dude's jacket to reveal that it says Night Panther. So is he the Night Panther, or is he a character that's based on an Old Spice scent? What's happened?
I guess they must have a scent called Old Panther. I don't know.
Night Panther.
It was always with the ship on it. That's what I think of with Old Spice. It would always have a drawing of a ship on it.
There's the ship.
This was the one that made you smell like a sailor.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, we're going to leave that alone. There's a highlight of, I don't know why you know what sailors smell like. There's a highlight of Shane McMahon training session that goes wrong. He tweaked his knee while training. I'm not sure why we couldn't see this footage before. We only saw a picture before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And then we have Elias, Riker, and Shane in the ring. Shane gets Elias to play and then tells him he's taking his place in the match tonight. So on a pay-per-view, Dan Lavransky, instead of Strowman and Shane, you get Elias versus Strowman.
It didn't bother me, but poor Matthew Smith, if he's out there, I hope the man made it through the rest of the show because I'm sure this one caused him some major mental distress. And as soon, like you knew from the previous vignette, he's going to put Elias in the place. It wasn't a surprise. And in fact, I thought the bit in the ring was kind of stupid. Why would you even let him go out there and start to play just to interrupt him so he has to take the match? So I thought that was really stupid. And then this turned into exactly what I thought it would be. Now that you have Shane out of there, it's a squash. And it took 4 minutes, and Braun basically dominates him. Elias was on the outside. Riker threw him back in. Riker distracted Braun, and then Elias was able to take over for a bit. He gave him a DDT and an elbow, and then that was it. And then Braun took over, destroyed him, pinned him after a power slam. And then the gambling promo played again after a match that wasn't even advertised to take place. So what happened? The gamblers got screwed again.
I just want to point out there's a lot of stuff going on here in our live chat right now, doing our live show. First of all, Matthew says he was inconsolable for the rest of the evening.
I'm not surprised. I feel sorry for the poor guy.
And on top of that, Mark Andrada has created a Sunday night's main event, Old Spice Night Panther logo that is up here on the screen.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
All the reason for you to be attending these things live, just for the creativity of Mark Andrada. And if you've ever had the, this is like being at Comedy Bar when Mark makes every show that he does 100% better. All right, let's continue on here. And we have backstage, Riddle wants to go into business with Nakamura to pimp out his scooters. They go in close on Riddle blabbering on about the scooters. They zoom out. Nakamura is gone. Riddle then scoots off. Nakamura returns and starts warming up again. You know, I really like Matt Riddle. And to me, this just shows how poor this writing is. And, you know, I think you would feel the same way about Nakamura Mouth, where someone that you loved in New Japan.
Yeah.
And look at what these two characters have become. Two of our favorites on either side here, and neither one. I mean, do you care about Nakamura now?
No, absolutely not. No, they ruined him so quickly. Yeah. And yeah, it just hasn't got any better. He's a placeholder. He's like, oh, we need someone here because Cesaro can't do this, so we throw him in there. Like, no, he's totally had a terrible, terrible run since day one, unfortunately.
And I look at Matt Riddle and I look at what he used to do in NXT, because he was a comedy character there too. And I was just trying to figure out like what the difference is, because if you remember back, he was so great with Pete Dunne, the Broserweights. I love those vignettes that they did. Yeah. And just think about lines like, how many fish could Bobby Fish fish if Bobby Fish could fish fish? Like, that's so stupid. That's so stupid. But also, Mouth, it's so great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just a difference in the mentality that he's presenting.
It's a fine line between with that kind of comedy. And on the NXT side, they were getting it right. And on this side, they're not getting it right. They're on the wrong side of the line. It's really tricky with a character like that, because he also has sort of an inherent annoying factor to him. Because it's just as much as you love Riddle, there's tons of people that hate that character, right? And they find that whole shtick annoying.
Yeah, I find it annoying now, but I didn't before. Mark brought up a good point there. He's in the chat and he said, when Riddle did the thing, I said it, it's a thing now. And just that could have been his catchphrase.
Right.
And could have worked really well, but it went unrecognized. And, you know, he's really been tainted. All right, on to the next match. I'll stop complaining about Matt Riddle's position as a character. Seth Rollins versus Nakamura. Mouth to me, my rationale behind this is the COVID precaution match of the night.
Yeah.
I feel as though Cesaro's just disappeared.
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
So this is a replacement.
It meant nothing. It was thrown together at the last minute. It's two guys, like we already talked about, that have been so badly booked with bad gimmicks. Like, I'm so tired of Seth Rollins and his Messiah stuff. And, you know, Nakamura has been damaged goods forever. I mean, there's not really much to talk about. Rollins got the curb stomp and he pinned him.
What did you think about the move before the curb stomp? Rollins was trying something new here. I didn't really care for it. Nakamura was down on one knee and Seth went for a running knee strike. He hooked his foot on the thigh of Nakamura.
Oh, right.
And then as he ran by him, he stopped and he hit him with the back of his calf. I thought this looked awkward and terrible and not the setup that he should be using for the curb stomp.
No, I didn't think it looked good. That's one where that's going to be the cameraman is going to have some work with a move like that to try to capture it at an angle where it actually looked kind of, because it didn't look particularly devastating or anything to me when he did it.
It's the back of your calf. It's pretty soft.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, but again, they both spent the whole match yelling at each other. So there you go.
Rhea Ripley, there's a vignette and she debuts tomorrow on Raw. 2 months after placing second last in the Royal Rumble, looking like a monster, looking fantastic. We see her tomorrow. And what does she do? Like, where does she fall
in? She's gonna have a completely new gimmick and it'll be completely different.
She's the nightmare. Well, she's got that over and over again.
The only thing we can do, Jay, is we can hope for the best, because I mean, what can you say? I mean, again, to me and you, it looks like a no-brainer. She's a great performer. She's got charisma. She's got a personality. She's got a cool character. But, you know, what will they do with it? How will they book her? Will they book her strong? Like, there's so many factors coming in now. You can't figure out what they're going to do or how it's going to work, because half the time it doesn't work.
You say we hope for the best. What is the best that we see? Is it Rhea coming in and going after Asuka? Is it a rematch of Rhea and Charlotte?
I think, she has to be in the upper echelon, one of those matches you go with. I would have no problem going back to the program with Charlotte. Whatever it is, though, it's got to be that. It's got to be high in the list. She can't come in and just be fooling around at the bottom with like Dana Brooke and them. She's got to be up there with the top women out of the gate, or they're not going to take her seriously.
No one wants to be near Dana Brooke. I even think Batista gave up at one point. All right. Sheamus versus Drew in a no-holds-barred match. I feel as though we might slightly differ with our opinion here. Let me get your take on this first. For this match, what did you think?
I mean, this is a very typical kind of match in the WWE as of late. A no holds barred kind of, like a no, last man standing kind of thing where they brawl all over the place. They get the kendo sticks out, they go fight in the crowd. They fight behind the TV screens. They do a crazy spot where Sheamus gets tossed into some screens so they can have some pyro and electricity and stuff like that. It was just, for me, I'm just tired of these ones where it's just kind of a big, long run around through all the areas in the place, and then you make your way back to the ring, and you do each other's finishers, and the guy that gets, McIntyre gets the Claymore, pins him. I mean, it was an okay match, but I'm kind of just tired of this style of match in general.
So to me, my issue with this match is it had no reason to be there and no reason to happen. 3 weeks ago, this started, not started, but we had the first match where Drew defeated Sheamus.
Yep.
It was pretty clear. We saw the end. And then afterwards, there was a little bit in the eye of a respect angle, like what we kind of saw with Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. So I kind of thought, all right, they've got it out of their system. They're going to be buds again. Well, then the next week, all of a sudden, for no apparent reason, we have another match. Then the two dum-dums knocked each other out with stairs. They looked like absolute morons. Both of them did. Last week, Sheamus calls out Lashley, and Lashley beats him. So Sheamus has lost to Lashley, has lost to McIntyre. Why is this match happening? How is Sheamus relevant, and why are we watching this? On top of that, we see these two guys come out and kill each other. And listen,
they
pound the crap out of each other. Sheamus was cut all over his body. But if you're going to do that, then do it in a match that has stakes associated with it.
I agree with you. In fact, I thought the one match on Raw was much better than this match.
Oh, yeah. That first one?
Yeah, where they just pounded the crap out of each other. That was much better than this. The reason that this is here is because you have 95 shows a year, and you've got to repeat things over and over. I agree with you. This looked like it was done. But honestly, Jay, I don't think they had anywhere else they could go. So they're like, okay, we got to mine this field one more time for this pay-per-view.
Also, if you're going to do the Braveheart thing with the makeup,
get it right.
I think it's lame. But save it for Mania if you're going to do it. There's no need to have Drew come out with the stupid war paint on. By the way, Braveheart, 1995. All right. Here we go.
We don't have to spend a lot of time on this either. I mean,
are you kidding me? We're going to spend a lot of time on this.
Okay. All right.
Randy Orton versus Alexa Bliss. I can't believe I'm even saying that. We all knew the direction that this was going in. So
down the crapper.
Yeah. As Randy is on the top rope doing his arms thing for his entrance, he spits up the black liquid again and freaks out asking for a towel at ringside.
I was looking for Papa Shango. Where is he?
Yeah. That would have been better. There's a fireball tossed at Randy. Alexa dodges Randy. He runs into the post. He walks outside. A lighting grid falls from the ceiling nearly onto Randy Orton. He almost died, to which he said, "What are you trying to kill me? You burnt a man alive."
Yeah, right, exactly. You just set a guy on fire. You shouldn't be getting quite so upset, exactly. This was just horrible. Here, I'm taking over from here.
All right.
The lighting rig fell. She's getting him in the ring. She blows him a kiss. It turns into a fireball. So one of the commentators said he blocked the fireball. I don't know how you block a fireball. I guess with your face or your hand or whatever. And then all of a sudden,
with your face. Yes, with your face.
That's how they did it in the old days. A smoldering hand comes out from under the ring. It grabs Orton by the ankle. He just stands there like he wouldn't hear the canvas ripping or something like that.
Nor feel it.
a big flame shoots up through the from the bottom of the canvas, and the Fiend comes out, and he's got a new mask and a new outfit. Very Texas Chainsaw. That's what I saw in this latest gimmick. It's kind of what he looked kind of looked like, Leatherface.
Nuh-uh, mouth. Toxic Avenger. That
oh, no.
Modeled-
no.
100%.
No way. Toxic Avenger was much more goofy looking than that, man. That was too serious for Toxic Avenger. Oh,
the
yeah.
Eye, no. The eyes were Toxic Avenger. Like,
no,
I posted
no,
this up
totally
on the Facebook
disagree.
Group.
Totally disagree. Oh, Toxic Avenger was
this is
much
our
more
biggest. This is our
exactly.
biggest debate of the show.
This is the one that will tear us apart. I don't agree. I saw more Texas Chainsaw than Toxic Avenger.
Mark, can we make this the poll instead? Should it be
sure,
Texas
yes,
Chainsaw Massacre
question.
Or Toxic Avenger? I don't know. Mark has a couple polls. Mark
do
says
it.
He's on it.
Do it.
All right.
Yeah.
We do. As we do this, by the way, guys, we'll get back into this. But we do have a couple polls that Mark is going to launch as well. We're going to do the thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. And we're also going to ask you for your best match of the night. So you can go ahead and answer nice. Those as well. But as you guys do that, Mouth will continue on talking about his favorite match of the show.
Fabulous match. Yes. So after the Fiend makes his appearance, he gives Orton the sister. Abigail, Bliss sat on top of Orton. The ref counted to three. So this is actually going down as Bliss beats Orton. The Legend Killer beaten in like 5 minutes. They cut to black. I mean, it was horrible. I mean, I know they got to set up him and the Fiend again at WrestleMania, but this was horrible. It was lame. It was stupid. It was everything I hate about this character and everything they've ever done, period.
Well, there's lots more of it coming. Listen, I don't want to get into it again on this show, but I have talked about how much I thought that this could have rolled into a preacher gimmick here. And that could have been the rebirth, and you could have had Bo Dallas. And Alexa Bliss is so charismatic and so great at whatever she does that she would have fit into this as well. But they just went back to the same
yep.
old...
They're stuck
again.
Exactly. They're stuck in that rut. They just go back. This is just a revamped version of a revamped version of a revamped version. That's all it is. And it's never anything super creative. It's the same stupid thing that we just had with a new face mask. Whoopee.
Randy says Toxic Avenger crossed with Sloth from the Goonies. I see it, Randy.
Okay,
I definitely see that.
I would buy more than straight up Toxic Avenger, though.
All right. Oh, someone said Two-Face from Batman and Robin. That's what Paul said. This is the hottest debate of the show right there.
Two-Face, you got to have one side look relatively normal. That's not Two-Face.
We had a promo coming up next, and I talked about this when I put out the syndicated show today, that the promo board of the two hosts, the buddies that are hosting WrestleMania this year, is absolutely hilarious.
Yep. Hogan
seeing
and Titus
O'Neil. Yeah. And Hulk Hogan side by side. I don't even know what to say about it. We all know what
yep.
happened.
Yep.
And
but
that's
obviously
why they're doing
they have
this.
Forgotten, or they see this as some kind of weird damage control. They see this as that's some better. Kind of weird damage control, I guess.
That's better. Match number 7. It's the Universal Championship. It's Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, and Edge is your special outside enforcer. Now, to me, I was very bored throughout a lot of this pay-per-view. It's like, I liked the pre-show match, maybe the first match on the card, and then it was a slippery slope. Sheamus and Drew worked hard, but the fact of the matter is, I knew how it was going to play out, and most of the matches on this card didn't matter. I will say, I went into this match, at least with a little hint, Mouth, of what's happening with Daniel Bryan? Why are there the Hall of Fame rumors? And could this end up being a three-way at WrestleMania? Did you buy into any of that going in?
Yes, absolutely.
I did too. Okay.
I was not surprised at all the way the match played out at the end. And it totally looks to me like they're going for a three-way.
Well, I just, the reason why I say that though is the point I'm trying to make is just the believability of watching a match is tough when you know there's pretty much a predetermined outcome and or whatever outcome it is, it doesn't matter. And this is the one match on the card that there were stakes involved with.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. But I mean, come on, that's WWE. That's how long has it been like that? We're constantly subjected to matches that have no stakes and mean nothing in the big picture or towards the next event or anything. Like, yeah, this one, you're right. It did have some, but I was not crazy about how it played out, though, because I personally don't want to see a three-way.
Okay, removing that, though, before we get to the end and your judgment upon the end, what did you think of the match work itself?
The match itself was great. Both guys worked super hard. Yep, I love the story of Daniel Bryan constantly trying to get the submissions on and Reigns grabbing him and just beating the crap out of him and stuff like that. Basically just trying to stomp him and keep him down and stop him from getting that old. And they really let Bryan work it and they really let him go back and forth getting out of it and stuff like that. But just the way it played out at the end, I'm sure it's pretty obvious. I mean, we had a ref bump. So Edge has to come in as the referee at that time. And, Bryan gets the yes lock on again. And then, of course, Jey Uso runs out to take out Edge and Bryan. He gets the chair. He runs Edge into the post. He went to Bryan with the chair, but Bryan got the running knee, so knocked him out. Bryan grabbed the chair. He beats up Uso with it. He went to Reigns again, but he moved, and Bryan hit Edge. So we had Bryan hitting Edge there, so there's the tease of that dynamic. This allowed Reigns to go for the spear, but Bryan got the yes lock on again. We see Reigns tapping out, but Edge, instead of counting or calling the match, corks Bryan with a chair, and then he corked Reigns with a chair, and then that's it. Edge leaves after that, and then a new ref finally shows up, comes down. Reigns crawls over because they're both lying there after the chair shots from Edge. Reigns crawls over on top of Bryan, and the ref counts the three, and he wins the match, retains the title, and we have a very obvious three-way for WrestleMania.
So here's my issue mainly with this is that the story of Edge's comeback makes him a great babyface, a babyface that has not only overcome a neck injury, but then beyond that, has overcome the tricep tear this past year to win the Royal Rumble. And now you could play that story out for one last hurrah of an old guy at Mania, not that old, but someone who's been around for a long time. And you also have spear versus spear. This storyline writes itself. Daniel Bryan is in the way of this.
Absolutely. Well, that's not the story anymore. That's not even the story. The story is the three of them. The story is all the stuff between the three of them now. And not that it's not really about Edge making that great comeback and coming back and winning the title. Now, with the three-way, does Edge come out winning? Or do they leave it on Reigns?
I think that they can leave it on Reigns.
And they pin Bryan.
You're probably right. If it is a three-way, you're probably right. And which is kind of unfortunate. I just think that they've completely missed an opportunity. It's so hard to make baby faces. And even if you are going backwards, you at least have a baby face. You at least have someone that the fans are behind with Edge. And you can criticize all you want that this is someone that is older, but nostalgia, it has become especially hot during the pandemic. People are going back and watching old stuff all the time. I talk about it on my radio shows all the time. Like, it's extremely popular to do. And if you're going to do that, then do it to its fullest capacity. Don't half-ass it. No one wants to see Edge as the ultimate opportunist. That's like trying to make Ric Flair a heel now. No. Right. Get to a certain point in your career where fans want to cheer those people that they used to love to boo.
Well, absolutely, especially if they've been away as long as Edge has been away, right? Of course they want to come back and cheer the guy. And you're right, it's a total natural story. But again, they probably have nothing else for Daniel Bryan as well. And they probably at least think, well, the three of them will have a great match together, which they will.
Sure.
But it does wreck the more dramatic storyline. And we all know it's about getting emotionally involved with the story. That's when you hook people.
Let me put my Mark Andrade conspiracy hat on for a while here, okay? Do you think that by putting them in a three-way, it dilutes the match and therefore allows them to put these three on night one and allow Drew McIntyre his moment on night two?
Ooh, wow. That's good because I always thought Reigns Edge would be night two.
Me too.
Yeah.
Let's bring on Mark Andrade. Because Mark Andrade, Mr. Conspiracy, is in the room. Mark, flip on your camera. Join us, please, because I know you love the conspiracies. You and I, when we hosted the show a couple weeks ago, were talking about what would be Mania Night 1 main event and what would be Night 2. After this outcome tonight, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think more and more I'm believing that Roman Reigns is going to be on Night 1.
Yeah, I could definitely see that with what's happened here. Mark, how are the polls? What do we got? We got results?
We've got results on the what did you think of the pay-per-view poll? And it is a decided thumbs in the middle.
56%.
56%, yeah.
Okay.
And I am about to launch the match of the night poll. You'll notice on this match of the night poll, though, that I did exclude one of the matches out of protest, and that's mostly for Matthew.
All right. So you can go ahead and vote on your match of the night poll. And I will also do that. There we go. Vote there. Okay, delightful. Now, here's what we do at this point in the show. You guys can raise your hand if you want to have your say. And if you want to pop up, raise your hand and we can bring you on. Along with that, if Joe Aguinaldo is in the room, I know he wanted to have a little chat as well about tonight's show. He told me that he was going to try to bring the Filipino positivity, but I'm not sure he's going to be able to find all that much.
He might be hard-pressed.
It might be a little bit tough. So, Mark, I leave this to your controls as well. Where should we go to next?
Up first, it looks like we have Paul. Paul is coming up. Paul, do you want to turn your camera on or just unmute? Up to you, man. Paul York.
This is Paul from the UK that you might know from Turnbuckle Trivia fame and also his recent loss. So he joins us now. There hey there, he Paul. What do you got to say today?
Can you hear me?
There we go.
You had to bring that up, didn't you, Jason?
I did, because it was only last week that it aired. So I definitely, you know what? It's nice to see that you haven't taken it too hard and you are here despite your retirement.
Yeah.
So what'd you think of tonight's show?
It was boring right till the end. I really enjoyed the Roman Reigns. I'm so tired. It's like 3:15.
Oh yeah, that's right, because you're in the UK, yeah.
Time change.
Yeah. I did like the Roman Reigns Daniel Bryan match. And everything else was a bit boring, to be fair. It was just like it was a chore to watch it.
Yeah, and you know what? I think a lot of people actually didn't watch this show tonight. I had a lot of people write me and just say, you know what? I'm not doing this one because it very much did seem like a placeholder, right? So why, Paul, it's 3 in the morning. Yeah. This is even worse for you. It's 3 in the morning. So what made you want to stay up and do this?
I heard so much good stuff about the other after party, so I wanted to come to this one.
Okay, great. That's where. Well, I hope you're enjoying.
Just to say one thing, right? You spoke about Matt Riddle earlier.
Yep.
Ever since he did the greatest thing on Raw with MVP, that little segment, you know what I'm talking about, Jason. You loved it as well.
Yeah, it was. Okay, remind me because now I'm. That was it. It was so natural and it was such an organic moment and you knew that it wasn't scripted. Yes. So ever since he did that, they've taken that and tried to run with it and it's been garbage is what you're saying, right?
Yep. Absolutely terrible since then. And it sucks. But you see that now with a lot of people from NXT coming over to the main roster. Mm-hmm. It's just, they don't know how to use them. I mean, you've got people that aren't getting used. I think Andrade's got his release now.
There was something posted tonight during the show that he was posting something about freedom, I think. Yeah.
He just said, good news.
Good news.
Great news
or
something.
Yeah.
You got Aleister Black, who's not been seen since he's been drafted. Obviously, that's because of
the Trinidad connection. Yep.
Yeah. And then you got people just aren't getting used properly. I mean, Nikki Cross is a cracking wrestler. She is a really good wrestler. And she hasn't been used well at all. Not since the Sanity days. Even then, I don't know what can be done because you get people complaining that you get the same old people in the main events from ages ago, and you've got no new talent coming through when they're not even going to get used properly.
Well, that's it. You hit it on the head right there, right? It's like they don't develop any new talent. So they have to go back to these older stars sometimes because they were built up properly. People have a connection to them. And unfortunately, we don't. Look, it's again, like Jason, we're talking about Nakamura. Someone like Nakamura oozing charisma. If they had just booked him strong and kept him, you know, a little bit stronger, he would have been great, and they just destroyed the guy, right? Like, it's hard when they just destroy every new person that seems to show up.
I agree completely. Ever since there was that series of matches he had with AJ, because obviously he had
Dick Punch. That,
Yeah, exactly.
That killed him.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Paul. You are not wrong. Thanks very much for staying up late with us. Go to bed, my friend. Catch the rest of the podcast. He's rubbing his eyes right now. A lot of people listen to the podcast. He's just rubbing his eyes. All right, get on out of here. Hey, Mark, let's shift around. Let's bring Joe Aguinaldo on, and then we'll get back into the, I almost said callers, back into the Zoomers. I don't know.
Habits break hard.
Yeah. Joe Aguinaldo is on the line right now. Joe, you told me you were going to bring the Filipino positivity. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that tonight. Do you have a highlight of this show?
I'm not sure if this would be a highlight, but man, I was intrigued by that whole Orton Bliss thing more than I was with Seth and Nakamura.
Oh, like, okay, where's Joe Aguinaldo and what?
No, no. And here's
Joe Aguinaldo.
Both. Here's the hold on.
Here's, saying he loved. I can't believe it.
Here's the reason. Seth Nakamura was a good enough wrestling match, but really had nothing that I was interested in other than that. And Nakamura, I mean, you guys have just finished saying it. He's been booked really badly. You know, Seth, I've never been a fan of. So when the Bliss Orton thing came out, I was kind of like, oh boy, here we go. And I thought it was hilarious. Although I do think that the Fiend ruined that match, like Bray Wyatt showing up, I thought was horrible. Other than that, though, I didn't mind this card. It wasn't actually as bad as I thought it would be. For a card before WrestleMania. That said, there were a lot of bad things. I see Jay. You're
I don't understand what you're talking about. I really don't.
If you
had come in and said the main event, I would have gotten it. But like Joe, there was so much on the card that just didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
No. Again, from that perspective, absolutely. I'm not a huge fan of the card before WrestleMania. To me, it's like, just use your TV to build to WrestleMania. But as a standalone card, and as someone who hasn't really watched the product, I took a break from wrestling for about 3 weeks. This wasn't bad. It wasn't horrible. You know, I was highly entertained, with the exception. Again, there were a couple of exceptions. Big E and the Nigerian Prince. Where did that accent come from? Have we figured this out yet?
Well, I don't know. It seems ancestors. To be changing. It seems to be changing too.
Yeah, like first
other movies.
First it was Wakanda, and now it was way more. I don't know. It's just changed a few times.
He's gonna sound like a Rasta before you know it.
Oh God!
No. That's Kofi's thing. We've already done that. Come on.
But and then the last thing, and it's something that Mouth mentioned. I was thoroughly enjoying. Daniel Bryan versus Roman Reigns, but the end of that match was pretty much every common wrestling trope that we've seen over the, you know, it was like, oh, look, they're lining up the chair shot. Oh, I guess Edge is going to interfere. Oh, here comes, you know what I mean? It was just like, come on guys. Like, you know, you're supposed to have these, you know, Hollywood level writers, and this is the best you can come up with. Yeah, the ending of that match just killed me.
Well, they were hampered too, because obviously the idea was to keep Brian in the mix somehow, right? So as soon as you got to make it so that there's going to be three people having the match instead of two, you've got to do all this other bogus stuff to kind of work it through, you know?
You know, and as much as I love Brian, I really don't want to see a three-way for that match.
Me neither.
I would rather just see a one-on-one match with, you know, spear versus spear. I mean, that's sort of where we it's were kind of hoping it would go. Yeah, no, it writes itself.
Like, it does. As I said, it completely wrote itself. It completely wrote itself. No doubt. All right, Joe. Someone else here is saying that it was an average episode of Raw's level of wrestling minus Raw's level of dumb segments. That's Matthew saying that. And then we have Tommy saying, I could get behind a gimmick where Apollo's accent changes every week.
Well, you might just get that. You know what? You might just get that anyway.
Mark, how do you have that ready so fast? Mark has now put on a flag that says Filipino positivity on the screen.
I love it.
How do you have... Where did that come from?
I had Joe's branding ready to go.
My goodness.
No, I just made a joke.
He's got a Chiron in his bedroom there or something.
I guess so. thank you, Joe, for hanging out. We're going to move along and get into our next Zoomer, I guess it is. And I mean, is it the face that I see, Mark? Because it's a familiar face that we are having on next, because is Boris is on the line.
Yeah.
On the Zoom, of course, from our host of NXT Talk. What's up, pal? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Pretty good. A little tired. Nice. Yeah, kind of wish it was NXT, but you know, can't have it all.
Oh, no, you know what though? Okay, credit where credit is due, and I forget who said it on the message board, but this show was at least done by 10 o'clock, and someone did say AEW can take notes. Because that show, the last AEW Revolution show, did go on to 11:30, and that was far too long. At least if you're going to do a show like this, shorter is better. So my whole more is more thing that I make fun of all the time did not happen tonight. So we can at least give them that.
Oh, no, we just hold it off for 3 weeks when it happens for an entire week then.
Well, that's besides the point. Boris, what'd you think?
I thought, you know, honestly, it wasn't the best. It was no different than any episode of Raw. Like, everything that happened tonight could have happened as a buildup to WrestleMania. It just felt more like a test for Peacock.
That's what it was.
Else. I think exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, outside of the main event, no stakes. Like, that's, you know, seems to be the theme that everyone is saying. And I'm going to say it. I'm going to pound on that, that it, nothing meant anything.
No.
And everything that happened throughout the matches, especially the Orton Alexa Bliss stuff, really honestly could have happened on any episode of Raw.
Well, the whole thing with Shane, if you were going to take Shane out of the match anyways, totally. You could have had that whole thing played out on Raw, set up someone different, and not even had it be a factor going into the pay-per-view. Instead, they said they were doing it after Monday. Then they said they weren't doing it. Then they did say they were doing it. Then they said they weren't doing it. They didn't even know what they were doing. So, yeah.
Yep.
Now, Boris, you are actually my tech guru, and I am wondering, my friend, just you mentioned Peacock. Were you, I know you're in Canada, you're just down the street from us here, but did you hear any yay or nay about the Peacock situation in the U.S.? And by the way, if there's anyone that is, whether it be in our chat or if you'd like to comment and talk about it, if you use Peacock tonight, please, please put up your hand and let's get you on. But did you hear anything, Boris?
Yeah, so I was actually using Peacock. I have my ways. Yeah,
okay,
I have
to wait. Great. So tell me about it then.
It wasn't the worst.
Yeah.
It stopped a couple times via buffering, but, you know, it was only a few seconds. The main event actually buffered a little more for me. And my internet is perfect. Like, I get, you know, 250, 300 megs a second. So it's not my internet. So it was the platform. But outside of that, it was pretty smooth. It was, you know, it was what it was. For the price, you can't beat it. There are sales right now. So why not?
But Boris, so is it true? Like, no pausing, no rewinding, no fast forwarding,
none of that.
You can't start whenever you want to. You have to start as the feed is playing. We've essentially gone back to 1995 television.
Yeah, pretty much. It reminds me of when MLB.TV started. Like, you had no controls, no nothing. It was the game, and you know, you better catch it when you jump in, or else you're screwed.
John says, I used Peacock. It seems to work okay, but what I hated was that the feed was 2 minutes behind the live feed. So I kept getting spoiled on Twitter. Oh, that sucks.
Oh,
so that's why I stayed off of the board, actually, because I noticed that I was actually running side by side, because I'm a geek this way, with WWE Network and Peacock, and Peacock was far behind.
You were running 2 feet. Wow, you were really doing your research, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. We also have, let's see, there was another user here. Michael said, I used Peacock. It stopped a bit, but otherwise I loved it. And we also had, Jake said he used Peacock on the big screen tonight. So I think what we have to be wary of is this was Fastlane. So you got to count WrestleMania traffic is what going to be quadruple?
A lot bigger.
What we got tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
When the lapsed fans come back and try to find it.
Yeah. What I will say, though, is that WWE Network launched with WrestleMania being the first actual WWE show. You had NXT before, but the testing. But, you know, and I remember that first WrestleMania 30 was horrendous on the network. Like, it was constantly stopping and all that. So hopefully they learn. But overall, it was a pretty good, a much better experience than what I was expecting, to be honest. And
I can't, I feel bad for everyone listening on podcasts that, that can't see what we're seeing right now. Mark has now created an image of Andrew Martin and the Peacock logo, because Andrew Martin, of course, is the late wrestler known as Test. And this is a Peacock Test.
It's a test for Peacock, right?
Yep. I love it.
So this is what our after parties are going to be from now on. All right. I love it. I'm in. I'm leaning in, Mark. Boris, thanks for hanging out, man. Of course, you can hear Boris and Matthew every week on NXT Talk. It is part of our Patreon. Thank you, pal, for doing double screens for us all night.
Major research.
How things
That's
are
what I do.
Mark, do we have another caller or another Zoomer that has raised their hand and would like to pop on?
Funny thing, we have a caller that doesn't have a name because they are our one phone call in listener. Coming from area code 304, you now can talk.
304, who is it?
Hey, this is Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy. So, Jeremy, what'd you think of tonight's show? What's on your mind?
Yeah, definitely. I thought Mouth had a good point about how there's so much talking going on in the ring. And one thing that I thought about with that was that maybe the superstars wanted to, get more promos in for WrestleMania, since this was mainly just the promo show for that. And at WrestleMania with the fans, maybe they won't be able to talk in the ring like that. So maybe that was one reason why they were doing that more tonight. And another point I had, I thought that you had a great point with your conspiracy theory about how it was going to kind of diminish Edge's match at WrestleMania. Cause I've texted with you a little bit on the Patreon. I'm a new patron going to WrestleMania. And I was really looking forward more to Edge's match, just being a single match, spear versus spear, instead of a triple threat. I mean, I love Daniel Bryan. I was actually at WrestleMania 30, and it was a great moment for him, but I don't think he really fits in this match.
Jeremy, I think you're right. I think that they had the angle handed to them and they're not taking it, but I am curious. So we messaged back and forth this week, and the mask is in the mail, by the way. And along with that though, so you got your tickets. Are you going to both nights? Where are you traveling from and going to? I'm just curious about the details of, cause you're actually attending WrestleMania live.
I got my tickets in the pre-sale on Thursday. It was kind of weird with the pod system because I was so far back in line that I wasn't able to get two pod for me and my friend. So we actually have two single pods next to each other. So we're like five seats apart, which is, it's fine with me. I guess it's better for social distancing and whatever. I was just happy to be able to get a ticket. I'm driving down to Florida from West Virginia for the WrestleMania. I'm real experienced with the stadium there. I've gone to some football games there before. So it's a really nice place. And I'm just looking forward to being able to get to a wrestling show, repping my SNME radio mask and having a good time.
Well, Jeremy, listen, I look forward to, by all means, if you want to pop on after one of the WrestleMania nights, we'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what the live experience is like, because, it's going to literally be like no other wrestling event that you've ever been to due to whatever safety precautions that they are tossing into the mix here.
Yeah, I think the environment will definitely be one of the most interesting things to see how maybe chants go over with everybody having to wear a mask the whole time, all the different environments, safety protocols, everything going into it. Yeah, I think it'll be real interesting. That was the main reason why I wanted to hop on here tonight, just to make sure everything will work. Hopefully the technology will hold up with the cell signal around the stadium so I can definitely pop on and let you guys know what it's like there.
You as well have used Fastlane as a test for WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's right.
I love how Jeremy's done it. Boris has two monitors checking out how things are coming in. Everyone is just using this as a test. Jeez, Mouth, we shouldn't have done Revolution. This should have been our test for WrestleMania as well.
Yes, exactly.
Jeremy, thanks very much, man. I look forward to hearing from you in a few weeks when you attend WrestleMania. Stay safe just in your pod at WrestleMania. That is very funny. Thanks for calling.
Thanks so much, Jake.
We actually had a caller. That is fantastic. All right, continuing on, Mark, swap out Jeremy, who is going to be going to WrestleMania live, and switch into whomever is next that has raised their hand.
Oh, actually coming up is Jake. Jake is joining us right now. He's just zipping through the internet tubes.
So Jake, this is Jake from Chicago. Jake, we already mentioned you on the show tonight. So you said that you used Peacock and you did so on the big screen. So what'd you do? Just like Chromecast it on over?
Oh boy.
Jake, that's a terrible microphone. And you're a broadcasting student. No, we can't hear you, Jake. You got to straighten that stuff out over there.
Can't hear you at all, Jake.
You're out of there. Okay.
Oh, well.
Hi, Jake. Sorry.
Hi.
Unfortunately, Jake is a regular caller to the show. That is Jake from Chicago. So we wanted an update from Peacock. But he said that the Peacock worked well. I guess he was just moving it on over.
It's just his mic.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah. Now we can hear you.
There we go.
There we go. Right, good stuff. All right, Jake.
I got to buy a new Yeti now. So that's amazing.
Great. So you streamed it on over? How was your stream tonight?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I'm an Xfinity cable customer through a Comcast, so I decided to. It's an easy transition for me just to go into Peacock, and it was fine overall. But as some of the other guests said, it was about 2 or 3 minute delay behind from the traditional WWE Network, which I did have it side by side, and yeah, it was like my microphone, it was really a mediocre quality. As far as picture goes, and it was
okay because it was a mediocre pay-per-view, so it doesn't really
matter. It was fine just to bounce that out. It's like around 480p of quality, and it took like 10 minutes in to go into like full in 720p. I love the main event, obviously, but first of all, that Matt Riddle segment, I just don't know what to think of that. So I had to to mute it for a while and just look online and just ignore that. But obviously the main event was tremendous, despite the overbooking of the ending there. And and taking a look at Peacock this week, the archives were kind of, as far as the archives go, there a ton of the great stuff isn't up there. And obviously they're missing a lot of the territory stuff, as well as the WCW and ECW shows. And as far as like, if you go back to classic episodes of Raw, the archives don't even start until like 2008. So they're missing a lot of stuff going on in there. But overall, obviously everything's not going to be transferred till August. But it's going to be, it's going to be much of a struggle when going into WrestleMania, trying to rely everything on Peacock.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out. But again, that's why they did the test. And it seemed like it worked okay tonight for most people, which is positive. But when you have that much more traffic, we'll see how it plays out. And we could get some very angry WWE fans. And guess what? Angry WWE fans is exactly what WWE does to their fans. Aren't we always angry?
It seems like it. Yeah.
All right, Jake, thank you very much for chiming on in. We're going to move to our next participant in the chat. If there is anybody else, Mark, slide them on over and let us know as we continue talking about tonight's pay-per-view. I guess we can open it up to anything that also happened this week, because I know that we have, we've done the podcast, but the show that was on today, our syndicated show, had Christian on the show, and we talked about his debut, but we should probably maybe have a little chat on this show about AEW Dynamite and that women's match, which just took the whole division up a notch.
Oh, that match was insane. For a hardcore match, it was so well worked. A lot of times with hardcore matches, I think what is missing is the emotional intensity, and you just get caught up in all the plunder and smashing and crashing. And this was different. This one was actually really an emotional match. I thought both Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker did an amazing job. The finish, the way Thunder Rosa just burst out crying when she won the match, like the The emotional intensity was great. I don't know if they needed the thumbtacks, but at the same time, the way that they used it, I mean, everybody, no one had anything bad to say about that match all week. And in fact, AEW had a bloody Britt Baker t-shirt available within like an hour after the show, I think.
That's fantastic. Yeah, did it take anything away from your mouth with having this match, though, and it not being for a title?
No. It was the end of the feud, right? So that was more what it was. This was just a feud that was never really based around a title, right? So it didn't bother me that wasn't in there. And it was so intense. It just, and plus you don't expect to see it, I don't think, as much from the ladies like that. And I also think we're so worn out on hardcore matches. I mean, we just saw a so-called exploding barbed wire death match the week before, and we're just so burnt out. And that this match really succeeded in taking us out of the burnout and actually creating something that was really emotionally engaging.
Mark, we talked about this on last week's show, how you had thought that these two women were absolutely going to rip it up, and they ripped each other up, and it was great.
Yeah, they really did. That was, was there a better match on television in the last year? Would you say in the last year, in the last 12 months?
It's a different style of match, but I mean, match had for it is everything that tonight's matches didn't, and it just had so much build and so much stakes and so much meaning.
Exactly.
And there was a story. The in-ring as well.
Yes.
And the in-ring as well. Sure. But that was what was so, you know, refreshing and nice about it, was that exactly there were stakes. It felt like this had built to this moment, and this, there was no other recourse but this bloody lights out match, you know.
And this has now become a gimmick of AEW. It's something that they do look to be keeping special, but they're not. The nice thing about it is they're not calling a pay-per-view lights out. They're instead using this match and using this gimmick when feuds require it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's exactly the way it should be, not be used just because it's a gimmick, but use it because, yeah, it makes sense in this stage of the feud to have that match. Whereas with WWE, half the time when TLC rolls around, it's just a show with gimmick matches. There's no reason to have those gimmicks there.
Now, Randy has pointed out in the chat, Thunder Rosa went on to lose to Camille on NWA today. And I've had a couple people point this out to me, but I would say, I mean, in my opinion, 97% of the AEW fan base doesn't know that match even happened.
Yeah, you're probably right. I didn't know happened.
Do you think it's bad that, you know, you have, this is what's going to happen when you have performers working in different promotions, you know? They come out, she comes out with a huge victory on Wednesday and then goes on to lose to Camille on NWA.
But I don't think that matters in 2021, Jay. I think a lot of the fans that are going to watch her matches and pay attention are kind of hip to that. It's not like 1975 where you can go to one territory and do this and nobody else hears about it anyways, except maybe 6 months later in a wrestling magazine. I think today, with the way things work and the fact that fans are smarter to the business and how it works, that I don't know if that kind of stuff really really matters that much anymore.
Anything else on AEW this week you want to jump into, or there's a couple things on NXT I want to touch on?
Now you can go there. I mean, the only thing I would say about it is that the last 2 weeks of AEW have both been way better than the pay-per-view was. I just find that so astounding. And this week's show of AEW, actually, I was curious to ask you, Jay, if you thought it was too talky, because it was a promo heavy show on Wednesday. Like there wasn't really, outside of the women's match, there was not really any major matches of consequence. In fact, a couple of them were squashes, but there just seemed to be, and I wasn't a problem for me, but the show really was promo heavy.
Well, I mean, you're establishing the Pinnacle, which is MJF's new group, of which, how much does Sean Spears just stick out like a sore thumb group, huh? Bad suit wearing?
He reminds me of when Lex Luger was in The Horseman. That's what he reminds me of.
Roma?
Doesn't fit in, right? Mongo just doesn't fit in, right?
You know what he's there for, though, Mouth? He's there to take the pin.
Yeah, that's what I figure, too. When the War Games matches, he's the one.
Every match.
You know, wow.
Every match, Sean Spears is pinned.
You know that with this faction and Jericho's faction, this has got to lead to War Games. They got to be headed in a direction like that.
Well, so, with fans getting back into buildings now and them never being able to do the blood and guts, as they call it. Yeah, I could definitely see that, that those two are going to pair off with War Games. To answer your question, though, no, I didn't think it was too talky, because honestly, the thing that I left that whole show with was Thunder Rosa match and Britt Baker, and that's my first memory.
Yeah, see, a better ending to the pay-per-view where the last image was the bad explosion that didn't happen. This one left you with an incredibly emotional match, completely different.
Yeah. And I thought that, and Darren here, who's our Baller Gear rep owner, he's saying that straight up best TV match in months. My soon-to-be 9-year-old daughter loved the match till the blood, and my wife truly enjoyed it, even though she doesn't like too much blood. The fact that they did blood with the women, and you just don't see that. And it's actually a quality is what they've put forth by doing that.
And they're also, they had the luck that Britt Baker has Mick Foley or Ric Flair or Terry Funk, like when it comes to bleeding, because she was, it was insane. She had the, mouth, her face wasn't completely covered.
She's a doctor. She has access to tons of aspirin.
Oh, so she just took lots of aspirin before the match. There you go.
Yeah, she did bleed very well.
There you go.
Absolutely.
What did you think about like the some of the teases of like Brian Cage turning babyface? Or
I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't think that's right. And I also am not down with Lance Archer and Sting. I don't feel a need for that program to happen either.
Right.
I don't know if you heard the show last week, but I was talking to Mark about this, where the Spanish commentator being used as a translator,
love it.
Pentagon, he is phenomenal.
Alex Abarantes, he's great, man. This stuff he did this week too with Phoenix was great. He's got just the right amount of smarminess, and it's it's like it's great. I agree. I think it's a total heel move, and that's what he should do. That should be his thing. Yeah,
he is very good with that. We also this week, so flipping over on NXT, we got the return of Walter. And Walter going into a program with Tommaso Ciampa, looks like Walter is going to be performing twice, maybe even in one night. Maybe they'll separate the two nights, because one of the NXT UK match looks like it's already been taped. And now he's over here working this program with Ciampa. Walter and Ciampa, I love Walter.
Yeah.
I don't know though, Mal. Do you want to see that match?
I mean, it'll be a hard hitting match in the ring. Like those two guys will tear it up. I think it, in terms of in ring on its own, I think actually it will be a good match. I'm just not sure what the story is going into it. I mean, it was tough with NXT this week because so much of the roster was out of commission and they had to change a bunch of stuff around. Right. I mean, Johnny Gargano and Candice, they're at home. They couldn't come. You know, there was so many people couldn't be there this week. It was kind of a weird show.
So it looks like we're getting Io Shirai, and we're getting her against Raquel Gonzalez. Do you feel as though we get a title change there? Oh, I believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I think it's time.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, Io Shirai's had it for quite a while. Raquel is, she's great. Like, I think she should be on the main roster myself. But
no, give her, I think that she has room to grow, and I think that she should have a run with the NXT title, with the women's title there, and just be very dominant. I mean, remember back, this is another situation where Raquel Gonzalez came off the pin at War Games over Io Shirai, and now that they've waited 3 months in order to make this happen, like, she was the next logical contender. What happens to Dakota Kai, though?
If you have Gonzalez move towards the title picture, like, I don't know what you do with her outside of a team like that.
Listen, I know you're a fan of Looney Tunes. Maybe it's like the big bruiser dog and the little dog that jumps over the big bruiser dog's back.
That's
Dakota. Dakota's the little dog.
She's the little yappy one. Okay.
Yeah, and Raquel's the bruiser one.
Right.
Who doesn't speak much, but she just goes in there and kills people.
Flaps her around. Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the way that they may play that out. Along with that, we had the tease of Karrion Kross and Finn Balor. Now, that, of course, is going to be the match at NXT TakeOver. Do you think that the title change is there?
I wouldn't. I don't think so.
Neither.
I don't think so. I mean, personally, I like it on Finn Balor, and I don't, but I also don't think Karrion Kross is the guy. Like, I think you're with Balor now. Keep it on Balor till you have someone that you can really put it on, that it'll really mean something for them to win it. That's how I would think. But then again, I'm not sure who that would be.
I don't know either, but I can tell you that I would kind of be interested in seeing, I'm more interested in seeing Walter versus Finn Balor than I am Walter versus Karrion Kross, but I'm probably more interested in seeing anyone versus Finn Balor than Karrion Kross.
Well, especially someone like Walter, because you know that him and Balor will just go in there and pound the crap out of each other. Like, they'll work really hard and stiff with each other. That would be an exciting match. And you have the nice dynamic of Walter being so much bigger than Finn, right? Like, you can do that classic, the kind of the small man against the big man thing.
It would be the Ilya Dragunov match once again. It'd be very similar to that we saw last year, where it's bigger versus smaller. That's similar body type with Balor and Dragunov as well.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
If Balor holds on to that title, and I kind of think that he will, then, I mean, I would see Karrion Kross, it's time to move on up. Or over, right? Like, they've had their eyes on Karrion Kross for so long. He was delayed and had the title ripped off him due to the injury. But I think that act is moving.
Yeah. Well, so which one would you put him on? Because I'm not sure which brand you would put him on.
Well, I mean, I personally would probably release him. But but I'm sure that they're going to want him on one of the two. Maybe Raw. Maybe Raw, and the reason why I say that is if the title does remain on Roman Reigns, then that's not a place for Karrion Kross at the moment. And if the title remains on Drew McIntyre, there's an opponent for Drew McIntyre.
Right.
I'm not excited about that, but I could very well foresee them going in that direction.
Right, right.
All right.
Yeah.
That is our week recap. Very brief. We'll be more detailed next week when we do the syndicated show, plus the bonus for the podcast. But I think, Mouth, less is more. And yes. I think that that could very well wrap up what we're doing here. Thank all of you for hanging out tonight at the after party. Mark, thank you for putting everything together. Much appreciated. And Boris, thanks for stopping by. Joe, thanks for stopping by. Mark, thank you for wearing that hoodie that everyone has been complimenting you on. It's the brightest yellow hoodie that I may have ever seen.
Fastlane yellow.
Fastlane yellow. And we'll be back doing our thing. All the podcasts are coming out. Mark and I've got the midweek mark out. Joe and Dan, of course, have All Elite Weekly. Boris has got NXT Talk. And then we'll be back doing Sunday night's main event next week, next Sunday. And it's on, I can tell you now. So we're already on 610 CKTB. Tonight, we also debuted on 1290 CJBK. So we are spreading our wings on the iHeartRadio Talk Network and trying to nab some more affiliates as well. So we're staying on the terrestrial and we're doing the digital stuff. But it does look like, guys, we can tell you that this is the way WrestleMania is going to play out. We're going to do both nights. We're going to do the after parties for both nights. And we'll put some sort of, I don't know if we're going to do a preview or a best of interviews or something for the syndicated show on the terrestrial affiliates, but for you guys, you're the patrons that I'm speaking and looking at right now. So you guys are getting this after party show. And if you're listening on the podcast, sign up for the Patreon, join us live where you can see things like Dan Lavransky dropping his mic, Mark Andrade's sweater, and all the fun things like that. So we are done tonight. As Mouth has to go get another beer, we'll talk to you next week on Sunday night's main event. Hey, guys, don't you dare miss it.
Brother.